them, because I need you to come and help me with something. You don't want to lose your page, so put a new sheet or something in there so you keep that page so you can find it again later. But do you want to come up to help me? Because I've got a challenge for you. Okay? Not the ladder, don't worry. Not yet. So, I need you to work together as a team to build the biggest tower possible using those cubes there. Okay, so can you work together as a team, bring them over here and build the biggest tower possible from those blocks over there? So I want you to see a nice tall tower. That's it, that's a good start. There we go. Caitlin's going to add one on. Brilliant. Whoa! Oh, we're going to do... Excellent. Doing really well. Oh. Oh. Oh, so how are you going to do this now? Is working as a team. How can you do it?
I can't reach him.
No, so how are you going to help each other out? That's it. Oh. Excellent. Let's give them a round of applause. Hold it. That's it. Don't let it fall over. Now, okay, so you worked really well as a team together. Now, do you think it would have been easier or harder to have done that if I was throwing these balls at you at the same time?
Yeah.
Harder, wouldn't it? What about if you were falling out with each other and if you were bickering and trying to be the best? How do you think? Do you think that would have made it easier or harder?
Harder.
Excellent. Right, go on, you can let it go now. Hey. Let's kick them all over there. There we go. Excellent. Great. Now, do take a seat again. So it's great to see you all working together and to build the tower. But it's right, isn't it? It would have been harder to do that if I was there throwing balls at you from outside. And it would have been harder to do that if you'd have been falling out with each other, if you'd have been arguing and bickering. Well, in Philippians, we've been seeing that Paul says that Christians have a job to do, that they are together to make Jesus known. It says in 1 verse 27, he tells them to strive together as one for the faith of the gospel. But he also warns us of two dangers that we will face that may stop that from happening. And the first is opposition from outside the church, like me throwing balls at them from outside. Paul says there'll be some who will oppose you. There'll always be some who don't want you to hear about Jesus and don't want other people to hear about Jesus. And so they'll stop people trying to talk about him. So Paul tells the Philippians not to be frightened, not to be scared by that, not to keep our heads down and be quiet, but instead, when that happens, to keep on speaking about Jesus and helping one another to do that. So that's the first danger, opposition from outside the church. So we're not to be frightened of it or stop us from working together. But there's another danger that he talks about, a danger from inside, a danger that we might fall out with each other, that we might be divided. And by being divided, we might not work together. I've realised I've not brought the clicker up with me, Jamie, so could you forward through the slides for me? You'll have to stay awake. Christians are to work together to speak about Jesus. Let's see the next few points. There's two dangers. Opposition from outside, so don't be frightened, and division from inside the church. And so Paul says, because of that, make sure that you stay united. Make sure you stay united. That's our next point, Jamie. He wants us to be united. You can see that from how our passage starts. Have a look down with me if you've got a Bible there and you've got it open. It's great help to do that. Paul starts off by saying, therefore, if you're to strive together one as one for the faith of the gospel, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. You get the point, don't you, that he's telling them to be united, to have the same mind, to think the same, to be one in spirit, one same love, one mind, together, united, as one. That's what he's telling them to do. To not see ourselves as on different teams, competing against each other, but on the same team, working together. And then he tells us how we're going to do that. How will we be united? And he says, the way you'll be united is to not think about yourselves. To not think about yourselves. That's our first point. To not think about yourselves. That's it. Great. Now, I need your help again, children. Around the room, you'll find various people, okay? Pictures of people all around the room on the benches. Can you go and collect them and bring them to me? So bring them one at a time. That's brilliant. Nancy, do you want to find another one, Evie? One. You keep hold of that one. That's great. Have we got them all? Keep hold of that one. Actually, you keep hold of that one, Clean. Is that all of them? I think that might be all of them. So, right. What I want us to do is to put these people in order of importance. Okay? So let's start with a nurse. The nurse. We'll put that in the middle. Okay. There we go.
I'm a nurse.
So, there's the nurse. So, Queen is, where do you think she might come? Right at the top. Okay. So we'll put her here. Okay, so what's next then? Doctor. Okay. Do you think it goes? You think that one goes in there? Okay. Yeah, it's a bit hard to decide, isn't it, actually, with all of these. So what about a cleaner? Where does a cleaner go? Above a queen? No. Above a doctor?
Below?
Yeah. Below? Yeah. Okay. Where's a... Okay, we've got a criminal. Where do you think a criminal goes? Criminal goes at the bottom. Okay. Right. So criminal's down there. Okay.
Football.
A football. Or a particular footballer, Harry Kane, kind of England captain. Where do we think he's going to go? At the top, higher than the queen. In there. It's a bit dubious, debatable, isn't it? By the amount of money he gets paid, he should be here, I guess, shouldn't he? But whether he should be down there. Okay, we're making... He could be very important later on today. And finally, what about a child? Where would we put a child? You think... Before footballer? Okay. There's no right or wrong answer, really, here. So we move doctor up a bit. Move nurse up. Okay. Put child in there. Footballer. Cleaner and criminal. Right. Okay. Well done. Okay. There you go. There's our list of importance. It's a bit debatable, isn't it? And it just shows how we think in society about what's important and what's not. But that's what we naturally do, isn't it? We naturally, when we look at people, we put them in an order. We think some people are more important than others. when we think about our future and what we want to grow up to be. There's things that we think are better to grow up to be than others. When we look at other people, we'll feel superior to them, better than them, higher up the ladder from them, or we may feel lower than them and we have to look up. I was going to show the older people might know the sketch of the two Ronnies. I look up to him because he's upper class. I look down to him. But that's what we do. We still do that, don't we? And often our aim in life is to climb the ladder, isn't it? Is to be able to get as high as possible, because when we're high up, we can look down on everyone else. And we think all the people down there are there to serve me, and I try and get as high as possible so I have as few people to serve above me. That's what life is all about. We think is to try and go up. You see, we always want to be at the top. We want to be praised. We want to be the ones who are important. If you don't think that's true, then think about this. Have you ever, at school, or maybe at work, had someone else praised for something they've done that you've also done, but you've not been noticed? Yeah? And the teacher says, well done, you were really good at that. And you think, what about me? Because you want to be as praised as well. Or think about why you do things. When you do jobs, do you do them as eagerly as if people weren't watching you? So if the teacher's watching, do you put away all the pens? But if she wasn't watching, you just leave them on the table. I know I would. Even things like good things like giving to charity. Why do we give to charity? Well, maybe it's so our name can go on a wall, and sort of these people have given to this charity. My old college, my university has a wall of all the people who've donated, so you can see your name there and see how much you've given. But also, it may not be for that. It may be just for yourself, so you can feel better. Don't want anyone else to know, but at least I know that I'm a good person. And what else happens when we're trying to climb the ladder? Then if we're to get higher up, what's the easiest way to get higher up? Well, it's to pull other people down, to make other people lower. And again, has that ever happened to you? Someone saying to you that you're rubbish at something because it makes them feel better? Yeah? Again, that's part of life. People, to get to the top, you've got to stand on people to get there. But Paul says that that shouldn't be the case for Christians. Have a look down at verse 3. If you've got your Bibles open again. Verse 3. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Now, selfish ambition just means wanting to be better, wanting more, wanting to be climbing up the ladder. And that word vain conceit, which is very strange, it literally means empty glory. It means doing things for praise, doing things so that people give you glory, that they say how great you are. And so what Paul is saying there is he's saying, don't be consumed with climbing up the ladder. Don't be bothered about trying to be seen to be better in other people's eyes, being higher and more important than others. Instead, value yourselves, value others higher than yourselves. Think of them more than you think of yourself. Put what they want and what they need before your own interests. Do what's best for them rather than what's best for you. Rather than what's going to make your life more comfortable and make you look better. Now, Peter, could you just, I've forgotten one of my visual aids. It's still in my bag, my grey bag. It should be in the bottom of there. But while we're finding that, you see, the heart of that issue, the heart of the problem is actually sin. Yeah, the heart of the problem is sin. Let's see there. See, there's sin. And what is at the heart, what is at the centre of sin? I, me, I am. Because that's what sin is all about. We know it is shove off God. I'm in charge. See, it's putting me at the centre. I want to show you this now, so if Peter hopefully has found compass. Is it in that bag? Ah, wrong bag. Excellent. Girls, come on. So, come out to the front, girls. Okay, so I have a compass here. We've got a picture of the compass on the screen as well. For you, Jamie. Jamie, just come put. There we go. So, now, have you ever noticed with a compass? Sorry, you can't see this. You just have to imagine, I'm sure you. But whichever way, however much I turn the compass, where's the needle pointing? Does the needle change?
Yeah.
Where's it pointing? It's always pointing towards Chloe, isn't it? It's always pointing that way. Oh, sorry, Amelia, sorry. See? And that is what is the heart of sin. See? It's always pointing at me. So wherever I go, it's always pointing at Evie. Yeah? Because it's all about me. That's what life is all about, if I'm naturally thinking. Yeah, you've got to stand there. There you go. So whichever way you turn it, it's always pointing at you. Yeah. Okay. So go and sit down now. Get a seat. That is like our life. Whichever way we turn, life is always pointing the direction of me. It's all about me. I naturally put myself at the centre. Parents will know this, won't you? Because do you have to teach your child to be served? Do you have to say, no, you sit there, let me get it for you? No? Or is it just ours? Do you have to teach them to not share? No, keep that for yourself. No, don't be so generous. No, we don't, do we? Because naturally, in our hearts, we want to be served. And we want to have it all for ourselves. But Paul says, don't be like that. He says, put others first. You may have seen this helpful summary. Jamie, next slide. Have you ever heard of that? What is joy? How do we find joy? Well, it's Jesus, others, you. So to find joy, first of all, we put Jesus first. We've been seeing that in Philippians, haven't we? Life is all about Jesus, about following him. If we do that, we will know true joy. But then second, it's putting others before ourselves. Thinking about others and what we do for them. And then finally, we think about ourselves. And that's completely the opposite to the way the world thinks, doesn't it? The world says, look after number one. Put yourself first. And that's the most important thing. Do what's best for you. But Paul says, no, if you're following Jesus, then don't think about yourselves. Think about others and put them first. But how will we do that? How will we put others before ourselves? How will we break that power of sin that wants to put myself in the centre and wants me to be as high up this ladder as possible? Well, we'll find out in a few moments. But we're going to sing first. As we sing, for God so loved the world. Put ourselves above others, but instead we're to put others first. But how will we do that? How will we do that? Well, we're to think like Jesus. We're to think like Jesus. Look at verse 5 in our passage. It says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We're to have the same mindset. We're to think the same, to have the same attitude as Jesus. to think about life the same way that Jesus did, to follow his example. And what did he do? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, just in case we don't know, Paul tells us in verse 6. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So here we go. Here's Jesus. Here he is. Now, where should Jesus go on our ladder of importance? Where do you think? By the Queen. Yeah, above the Queen, surely. Right up there. Because Jesus, we're told in verse 6, was God. So he's completely equal with God. Everything about God is true of Jesus. And so he is the most important, the most powerful, the one who is to be praised more than all others and served by everyone else. There he is, right at the top. But Jesus isn't there to be served. Instead, because he's God, he has come to serve. And so we're told in verse 7 how he came down, taking the very nature of a human. But when he came, he didn't come as a king. When he came to earth, which is amazing enough, coming as a human being, he didn't come as the most important human being. He wasn't born in a palace with a crown. He was born in a stable, in a manger. So he didn't come as a doctor, or a nurse, or a child, or a footballer. I guess you might put him down here. As he came, we're told, as a servant. He came to help others. But it doesn't even stop there, does it? Because we're told in verse 8 that he died. And he died on a cross. And the reason it tells us that is because to die on a cross is to die like a criminal. He didn't die some heroic death. He died as a criminal. So we're to put Jesus right down there. Right at the bottom. Below everyone else. Because that's where he went. He came all the way from the glory of heaven to come as a human being and then to die on the cross as a criminal. And why did he do that? He did that for you and for me, to serve us by dying in our place, to forgive us our sins so that we can be friends with God. That is amazing love, isn't it? To serve someone like that, to serve you and me. He's the perfect example, you see, of someone who didn't have selfish ambition or vain conceit. It was never vain conceit. He had all the glory in the world. But he was willing to give it all up, to think of others, to put their interests before his own, and to value them more than himself.